On the battlefield, proper footwear can be just as important as a weapon. From running across the desert to jumping out of planes, Marines need adequate footwear to take them from point A to point B without injury. On today's episode, I'm chatting with Todd Tolles, Program Analyst for the Clothing and Equipment Team on boots. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I'm looking forward to learning all about the boots. Before this episode, on the Marines.mil website, they have like a history, or it might have been the OSD website, I can't remember which one, but it was the history of all the uniforms.
Right.
And so I got to see the boots from the very beginning to now. Now you can tell me more about them.
Quite a change.
Yes, very big change. So take me back to the beginning. Where are you from?
So from Paris Island. No, just kidding. You know, that's where Marines go to boot camp, right? And that's a joke, right, with Marines.
That's where you start.
Right. I'm from California, okay. Southern California. So I lived in San Diego, Orange County, that area of California until I was in high school. Then I moved back east to Maryland, and that's where I joined the Marine Corps.
So your family, was your parents in the military?
Or? My stepdad was a retired Marine. Therefore, I was told, you're going to join the Marine Corps.
That's how it goes.
Right?
And the family tradition.
And it worked out fine for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you do in the Marine Corps?
Oh, man, I had quite a few different jobs. My primary MOS was Supply Administration, 3043. Then I was a drill instructor. I was an ammo tech. I was a liaison officer. And I was an instructor at the Staff NCO Academy.
Okay, good career.
Tried to mix it up.
Did you ever come to CISCOM as a Marine?
No, never.
So just afterwards, you made your way here? Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that happened was my last duty station, I was the Marine Liaison Officer in Philadelphia.
Okay.
At the Defense Logistics Agency, where all of the equipment that Marines are issued in the sea bag or when they go downrange to battle, all of that equipment is managed at the Defense Logistics Agency. So I was the Marine liaison there, not really knowing what I got into because if you've seen the movie Dances with Wolves, right, with Kevin Costner?
Yeah.
So I was that guy because I left Okinawa with about 20,000 Marines surrounding me, and I go to Philadelphia at DLA, and I am the only Marine there surrounded by nothing but civilians.
Kind of similar to here.
Yeah.
We do have Marines here, but it's a very civilian heavy organization.
Yeah, but I mean, I was the only Marine there. And I'm like, where am I? So I learned a whole lot about how the gear that we use as Marines is managed, how it's bought, how it's procured and issued out.
Which I think gives you a kind of a step up too when coming here because you understand that side of it as well. You kind of see the whole picture.
Right. And that's how I ended up here because I was involved with PMICE at the time. And I was always in contact with the project officer / program analyst at PMICE. And they would call me up in Philadelphia, hey, can you track down why, you know, we're not getting this item out to the fleet? And it could have been boots, it could have been body armor, it could have been packs. I built a reputation with PMICE. And then when I retired, I was picked up as a contractor with Patricio Enterprises and then turned over to the government side 3 years later.
So how long have you been at CISCOM?
Right about 15 years.
Okay. Have you always been the boot guy? Well, I'm calling you the boot guy. I don't know if that's what everyone else calls
you.
You
know what? It's funny. When I read your notes, and I said, I saw boot guy. That's what people know me as.
The boot guy.
Yeah. I mean, when we go do user evaluations, whether it's for boots or different equipment, because I don't only manage the footwear side of the house. I do cold weather clothing.
Okay.
I do the military ski system. I had the Marine Corps running suit program. So, but boots, they're a constant, right? It's not like the other programs you field it, you're done with it, and then you monitor it as a lifecycle manager. But boots are always constant. So, yeah, I mean, I get called the boot guy a ton.
Just change your name and the gal, boot guy.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
They know where to find you. So you're the program analyst in clothing and equipment. So what exactly does a program analyst do?
We are the lifecycle managers for everything that is in the sea bag pertaining to the clothing and equipment team. And then there's other types of equipment that we're the lifecycle managers for. So we constantly are looking to innovate and bring out the latest and greatest of a particular item. So we work hands in with industry trying to identify, okay, this boot was from Vietnam, so maybe we got to upgrade it and go to a different type of boot. So basically, the analyst job is to maintain the program for accountability, serviceability. If there's a defect with a specific item pertaining to footwear specifically, then we identify why there's an issue with it, and we got to take corrective action with the manufacturers of the boot if there's a problem with it.
So is it you on your team for boots, or do you have other people that work alongside you?
I'm pretty much the boot guy, but I mean, people on my team, we are all supportive of each other. So if I need some support from another teammate, for example, when we go out and do user evaluations for footwear, I'll take three or four of my team members because it's involved and I need more bodies. I need more hands-on, more people to inspect the boots and take the data from the Marines. So it's all a team effort.
Always a team. One team, one fight, as we always say.
Absolutely.
The boots that we wear today are leagues above what we had when the Corps was birthed in 1775. And we're a long way from the Brogan or the Jefferson bootie. So can you talk about the evolution of the boots?
Sure. So I was in the Marine Corps for 22 years. And prior to me joining the Marine Corps, this boot that I'm holding up was the Vietnam-issued boot. While I was in, this boot was still in the inventory, and Marines were being issued this boot from probably mid-60s until the early 90s. This boot was out there.
Around a long time.
And you know, it served its purpose, right? But the evolution over time, we went from an outsole, and you can kind of feel that. It's like a hockey puck.
Oh, yeah.
There's no
It's very
cushion.
Hard.
Yeah, the density is, I mean, it's very thick. So there's no shock attenuation. So by having that, there were a lot of lower extremity injuries taking place in the Marine Corps. So the Marine Corps kind of identified this as time went on, but the boot still stayed in the inventory. And then sooner or later, you know, we went to this boot, which was a full grain leather boot, same type of outsole, but a little not as dense. All right. So the shock attenuation gave a little bit more.
Are these the ones that I've sometimes heard as black Cadillacs?
Yep, that's okay. The black Cadillac, okay. Absolutely. And you can see where the evolution changed too, right?
It's a little bit higher.
Yep, and here there's no comfort collar, but here you got a comfort collar, give your ankles a little bit more support. That was a big deal for us. And then sooner or later, you know, this boot was the seat bag boot. So this is the current seat bag boot, and I know that was one of your questions, right? But here you can see where the sole construction is different. So you got a 2-3 layering sole construction, and you can feel that where it's more cushioned.
Yeah.
And then you have the comfort collar here. The outsole is different from this outsole. That's a Panama outsole, and this is a Vibram outsole. So the cushioning piece is the main focus that the Marine Corps was looking for, a way to reduce lower extremity injuries. So the Marine Corps decided on this after years of evaluations on it.
Is this the first boot to have the EGA stamped on it?
So when the Marine Corps switched over from a boot like this to a boot like this, yes, the Commandant went ahead and said, hey, I want the Marine Corps emblem on it. So now people know that if the emblem is on the boot, then it's a certified boot by the program office, by the Marine Corps.
It adds a nice touch.
So then this was the wrap boot, which was huge in Afghanistan. So even though this was still being issued, we had to find something that was more durable in Afghanistan because the Marines were coming back to us saying, hey, the boots are just getting beat down based off of the environment. So we developed this boot, and it has an impregnated leather with polyurethane, which gave it more added protection on the toe and on the counter heel area. Still with the Marine Corps emblem on it. So this boot was issued to all Marines deploying to Afghanistan or Iraq, and they were getting two pair of these. And at a certain point, the Marine Corps decided to put this boot in the sea bag.
Okay.
But there was it was a catastrophic failure.
Putting it in the sea bag?
Yes, because we did not test the boot at the recruit depot. We assumed, and you know, we said, hey, if it's good enough for Afghanistan, then let's take the excess that we had, because we had quite a few pairs that were excess, enough to field the sea bag. And we just figured this would be the boot of the future for the Marine Corps. But once it got to the depot, you can feel the cushioning on that midsole.
It's very cushioned.
Very cushioned.
Very
right?
cushioned.
Very soft, which is great if you're in combat or if you're on a march for, you know, 15, 10 miles or whatever the case might be. But when you're a recruit at the depot and you're driving your heel, as recruits do, on the grinder or the asphalt where the Marines recruits do close order drill.
It doesn't feel so great.
It exploded.
Yeah.
It couldn't withstand the constant pounding, and the mid cushion just imploded. which caused multiple failures. So we had to immediately identify a solution. And again, we went and did more user evaluations at the Recruit Depot with an increased density on it. And we identified the solution. So we said, okay, that's that. But at the same time, this boot was removed out of the seat bag and this was reinserted.
Can Marines still get the wrap boot?
Danner, one of our manufacturers, they were making the wrap boot. They no longer make the wrap boot, but you could go on Amazon, eBay, and find that wrap boot. And as long as it's serviceable, that's one of the boots that is on our list that, hey, if you have a serviceable pair of wrap boots, then you can continue to wear the wrap boots until it's unserviceable.
You kind of answered this, but when Marines go to boot camp, do we give them boots in their sea bag, or is it once they graduate?
Nope. Each recruit, once they hit the yellow footprints, they'll get two pair of boots. They'll get a hot weather, which, and you can identify the hot weather because it has the drain holes on it.
All right.
And it's a little bit lighter. And then they get a boot that looks similar to this, almost exactly like this, except it doesn't have the drain holes. And that boot has a Gore-Tex or water membrane inside of it, which will keep the boot waterproof.
Okay.
So that's a temperate weather boot. So they get a hot weather boot and they get a temperate weather boot.
Which one do we consider the tropical?
Neither.
There's a different boot.
Yeah, the tropical is what I'm wearing right here.
Okay.
But we can talk about that also if you'd like. But yeah, so each recruit, I mean, from the time they're on the yellow footprints, they get two boots. The temperate weather, which is nothing more than a waterproof boot.
Okay.
A lot of people think that it's a cold weather boot, but it's not. There's no insulation in it. It's strictly a temperate weather boot, take you down to about maybe 31 to 28 degrees with a nice wool sock.
Okay.
And it'll keep your foot dry as long as the boot doesn't get submerged. And then you have the hot weather boot, which obviously you can wear that in any temperature that, you know, that you feel that it can go down to. If it's too cold, you can switch over to the temperate weather boot, which, you know, again, you wear a good wool sock. But with this boot, it does have the vent hole, so this wool, the water will penetrate eventually.
So day to day, I guess it depends on where you're stationed, but would you say most Marines wear?
Yeah, most Marines are wearing the hot weather boot.
The hot weather boot.
But I walk around. I mean, I go to multiple Marine Corps bases, right, for user evaluations or whatever the case might be, and I look and see what Marines are wearing, and very few are wearing the sea bag boot. They'll wear it once they're in boot camp because they have to, but once they get out, which is one of your questions down the road, there is an optional boot that they are allowed to purchase.
I mentioned the tropical boot. Can you tell me a bit about that and then which Marines are able to get that boot?
Sure. So the tropical boot probably came out about 4 years ago. The idea was from General Amos, the then commandant, and that probably was 10 years ago. But it just took us a while to get the momentum, and we did multiple user evaluations on a tropical uniform, the camis, as well as the boots. So the boot that I'm wearing here was one of the boots that we did in the user evaluation, and we down selected to two manufacturers. Now those boots are not only available in the Marine Corps Exchange as part of the optional boot program, but each Marine going to a hot, temperate, hot, humid environment will get issued two pair of tropical boots.
Okay.
So that's how the tropical boot program came into its way.
I'm sure Marines were happy about that.
Yeah.
No one likes a hot foot.
And it's lighter weight. Yeah. It dries probably, there's a percentage that you kind of base it off of when you're in a lab, testing it in a lab. And that's kind of how we tested it. We put it in a chamber and we said, okay, here's this boot, the current sea bag boot. Here's the tropical boot. Let's see what the difference is when it's, you know, submerged in water and how quickly it dries out. So we identified that it does dry out much faster than the current sea bag boot. So yeah, if you're in that environment, absolutely Marines want to wear this boot. And it's lighter weight as well.
What about the cold weather boot?
That's a real good question, because for the longest, all we had was the temperate weather boot, and then we had a vapor barrier boot, it's an extreme cold weather boot. So we had nothing in between. So the VB boot will take you from like minus 30 down. This boot here, again, the sea bag boot, the temperate weather boot, will only take you till about 28 degrees. So we had a gap, and we had to fill that gap. So now we have what's called the intense cold weather boot. It looks similar to this, the black Cadillac. And it's funny because when we started issuing the boot, a lot of old-time Marines were like, that's the black Cadillac. We're going back to the black Cadillacs? And we're like, kind of, sort of. So It's similar to this, has 400 grams of insulation in it.
Okay.
So again, we did multiple user evaluations on that boot as well. In Norway, Bridgeport, where else? Iceland. So based off of the feedback, we said, okay, let's go with a full grain leather vice a rough out. And there was a
difference. Because it holds in the heat better, I'm assuming.
Yeah, okay. And plus this repels the water. So when snow is, you're in snow and you're on the march and you're wearing this boot, the snow is not going to stick as it would to a cowhide.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So yes, and that boot is being issued to Marines whenever they go into a cold weather environment, they get in the intense cold weather boot.
I understand, though, the new ones, they match the uniform a little bit. They don't stand out as much.
Well, part of the reason for having this boot, it was less work, right? And when I say less work, you know, Marines were having to constantly shine this boot, spit shine the boot. And then when the Marine Corps decided, hey, let's go with the MARPAT, right? You have the woodland, you have the desert. Well, this goes with both of them, obviously. And Marines didn't have to polish the boot anymore, kind of taking away from some of the, you know, traditions of the Marine Corps. But still, it made it not so much time consuming to have to spin on your boots as long as you keep them clean. But the problem is with a lot of Marines that I see, they get the boot full of mud. They just think, if I kick the mud off, then I'm in a good position. And it probably takes one of their staff NCOs to say, hey, Devil Dog, you need to square your boots away. Because what that does, it doesn't allow the boot to breathe. So the more grime, dirt, mud that's on this boot and it's not clean the way it should be, the Marines are going to say, gosh, my foot is hot. Why is it so hot? Hey, you need to clean the boot so it can breathe, because leather will breathe as long as it's clean. So that's the default of that piece, where Marines aren't spending as much time as they should on the maintenance piece of it.
Speaking of cleaning, I read that one of our boots has a self-cleaning sole. So what does that mean exactly?
General Neller, he was behind some of the ideas for the tropical boot. And he said, the one thing I want on the tropical boot is a self-cleaning outsole. We knew what that meant. That meant he wanted the Panama outsole on it.
Okay.
So what this Panama outsole does, you can see the channels here, right? So when you step in mud, there's not a lot of places for the mud to get trapped. Whereas this type of outsole, mud can get trapped in multiple different areas of the boot. So, but this, when you step, it pushes the mud out.
Okay.
So that's basically a self-cleaning outsole, and it's proven its weight in gold with that outsole. So obviously General Neller, when he was wearing this boot, you know, as a young captain, he goes, yeah, that's the kind of outsole we need back on this boot, because he had worn it through his time. And so we adopted the outsole. And now that outsole is similar to this one here. It's a little different, but it still has the channels to push out.
To push the mud.
Yep.
Whereas the boot that we get in the sea bag, it seems the grip on the bottom is better for a more...
Yeah. If you're going up terrain in a more of a rocky type gravelly area...
It's going to grip.
That's going to grip. And this will grip too, but not as well. But you got to realize that this was not for... that environment.
Yes.
This was for, you know, anywhere like Okinawa, Thailand, Vietnam.
So for listeners that can't see the boot, we're talking between the difference between the tropical boot outsole and then the
sea bag boot.
The sea bag boot outsole. So you've mentioned a few times the optional boot program. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, we're really happy about the optional boot program, because for the longest, and even while I was the boot guy, we only had the sea bag boot and we had one other optional boot. There were no other optional boots.
Just two.
Yep. So General Neller, again, we pushed the envelope to him. We said, hey, you know, General, we got a lot of manufacturers from industry that they have great ideas for optional boots. And he went ahead and gave us a thumbs up. And to this day, and I was in the Marine Corps Exchange this morning, I wanted to see, just count again how many were in there. There are 7 optional boots for Marines to choose from. So the thing about it is, when we have a vendor that approaches us, or we might go after a vendor and say, hey, are you interested in the optional boot program? 9 times out of 10, they're knocking our door down trying to get certified. So we will take a boot similar to this one. This boot was made by Belleville. They wanted to get certified. We can't do multiple certifications a year because there's just too much involved with
it.
And to make a long story short, we take 25 to 30 pair of these boots, and we put them on the feet of Marines for approximately 5 to 6 months. Marines wear the boots, and that can be in Okinawa, it can be in Camp Pendleton, it can be at Camp Lejeune. This specific boot was tested at 2nd Recon Battalion at Camp Lejeune. They kept the boots for about 6 months. We went back, we did what we call data collection. We evaluate the boot, examine it, do a physical inspection of the boot, look for any failures, any defects, any workmanship issues of that nature. And then we do surveys with the actual Marines who wore the boots. And based off of that data, we decide whether or not they're going to be worthy enough to be provided a certification number, which allows them to now sell the boot in the Marine Corps Exchange, or they can sell it through their website or multiple other website outlets that are available.
Do you, whenever you're going through the certification process, do you like to get the boots in different climates to get a, or is it really just wherever you can?
Yeah, and that's locations a good question, right? And if we were doing a, for example, we've done some that are, this is a basically a hot weather boot. And the goal that we're shooting for is a durable boot, but we want a boot that's lighter weight than this. So you gotta, it's almost a trade-off. You might trade off a little bit for durability for the lightness, the lightweight of the boot itself.
Because we always want to be lighter.
Right. So industry has came to us and said, hey, we can do this, we can do that, make the boot lighter, but still make it as durable as this boot. And we're now seeing that because we aren't seeing any failures. There might be one or two throughout the Marine Corps Exchange. When the Marine buys the boot, they'll take the boot back and say, hey, my outsole came apart. But the majority of the vendors that are out there, they will do a one-for-one swap with the Marine Corps Exchange, and then the Marine will get his boot back because, you know, they're not cheap. That's the difference. So this boot, because it's a sea bag boot, is about $98 in the Marine Corps Exchange because it's from DLA, right? DLA
not too bad.
Holds the contract on that. But this boot is $189 in the Marine Corps Exchange. So you can see the value, right? The
difference. It's like a Doc Martin.
Yeah. Now, that's cheap. That I shouldn't say cheap. It's a very inexpensive
affordable
boot. Affordable. Good word. Now, this boot here is $249, the Danner Tropical Boot in the Marine Corps Exchange. So
that's a pricey boot.
Yeah. And when the Marines go in the exchanges and they're like, okay, you know, a young Lance Corporal, we want to make sure whatever they're going to spend their money on, that, hey, it's going to be a solid product and they're not going to have to return it in 2 weeks because it fell apart. That's why we do our certification the way we do it. We also do lab certification on boots. So we'll take it in a lab and we'll do bond strength testing. We'll do flex testing on it. And we got a couple of different other tests that we'll do on it. But we want to make sure that the Marine who's going to spend their money on it, whether it's a Lance Corporal or a Colonel, we want to make sure they're getting a durable boot for their money because they're not cheap. We do something different than what the Army does. The Army doesn't do that. The Army just, they kind of basically look at the boot and like, yep, good to go.
I was just about to ask about the Army.
Yeah.
Do we do our testing in their labs?
We do.
We do. Okay.
Yep. We have two places we can do our testing at the Defense Logistics Agency in Philadelphia or Natick Labs in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And we have partners. Members of our team, they sit at Natick, so they can do all the logistics for us and get it ready to go. And then we show up and we all get the boot tested. So that's the gist on the certification. We take it very personal. We want to make sure, again, that if we certify a boot, that it meets the mark of being, you know, worn by a Marine.
This may not be a question for you, but do boots fall in the clothing allowance?
That is a good question because, yes, every Marine, enlisted Marine, part of his clothing maintenance allowance, he'll get a percentage for a $98 pair of boots.
So he can use that $98 towards another pair if he wants.
Yeah, he could use it for an optional boot.
You know, boots take Marines everywhere, any climb or place. So how do we take that in whenever we're looking at boots to procure for Marines? Is it all through the testing process?
Yeah, and...
Or requirements?
So, for example, we knew we had a capability gap for the intense cold weather boot. We knew we had to have something out there, right? We had the requirement. We just needed to find the boot. So we tested multiple different boots in a cold weather environment, like I said, in Norway, Iceland, and Bridgeport, which is the Mountain Warfare Training Center. So based off of those three locations, we knew we would get good data back, good feedback. So off of that, that's how we identified for that type of, you know, temperature range, that type of environment. For the tropical boot, we went to Okinawa, we went to Hawaii, and we tested the boot there. Basically, to answer your question, it's yes, we have to be in that environment to say, yep, this is going to be the next boot used in that environment.
How does it work on sand? How going from water to land? All, you know.
Exactly. Does it dry out fast? Does it make too much noise?
For an expeditionary Yeah.
Do you not have noise discipline with your boots because it's sloshing around because the water can't find a way to drain out of it? Or, for example, the recruit depot, how we used the rat boot at the recruit depot, we identified that there was a catastrophic failure because of the constant pounding on the asphalt when the recruits were doing close quarter drill. So now we know if we're going to put a boot, another boot in the sea bag, we need to test it at the recruit depot before we do that.
It's just being agile, always going back and testing as you go.
Yeah, and it's constant. And so part of the certification process, every 3 years, we certify the vendors again. So they have to submit us their product. They give us 6 samples of this boot, and then we put it back in the lab. And if there's been any issues throughout the course of those past 3 years, we identify it obviously to the vendor, but we may have to take it back out to the field to test it. So, I mean, you've heard the thing, right? You can test something in a lab so many times, but when you put it on the feet of Marines, at least with our gear, that's when we can really, you know,
get the feedback.
Yep. And identify, is it going to make it?
Do you get a lot of feedback from the boots and the program?
I am constantly looking at boots, right? Just in the Marine Corps change, I open a box up and I can tell, hey, you guys are getting a little sloppy here. You need to tighten it up. And I'll reach out to them and they're like, hey, we'll fix that before it gets, you know, to be an issue.
Yeah.
But in the fleet, we'll go to the Marine Corps exchanges and we'll talk to the managers. Hey, any problems with any of the boots? Or we'll go to the recruit depot and ask the same question. And they'll tell us if there's a trend. And then that's when we address it with the manufacturers.
Like, okay, yeah. If Marines are bringing boots back or what's selling the most and all that.
Yeah, this Belleville boot was the biggest selling boot of 2023 in the Marine Corps Exchange.
It's a nice looking boot.
It's a solid boot. It's durable, and the price point is where it needs to be for Marines to be able to afford that. Again, you know, for the young Marines especially.
We talked about what we consider in regards to like climb in place. We love to say that in the Marine Corps. But what are the challenges when you're developing a boot or selecting a boot for the Marine Corps?
Durability, fit, form, function, all those areas have to be highly considered valuable, because if you don't, you can have a specific boot. If we were to go back in time and say, hey, back in the day in Vietnam, this boot was great. It was, but industry was, that was 40 years ago, 50 years ago, right? So industry has came leaps and bounds since then. There's developments that make the boot lighter weight, better shock attenuation. It's like driving your car, right? You could have a car that was built in the 60s and you're driving it down the highway, or you could have a 2023 vehicle. The 2023, you're going to have a smoother ride, right? Just because of the way technology has
advanced. Won't look
advanced.
As cool, but...
Yeah, but technology has advanced. And same with the footwear. The fit, form, function are the big areas that we want, as well as durability.
Well, we know which boots you love. So what advice would you give Marines when they're selecting a boot?
Wait, I didn't say what boot I loved. You're going to put me on the spot.
Let me rephrase. We know what boot you're wearing today.
I wear multiple boots throughout the month.
You have a boot for every day of the week.
Well, here's what it is, right? Because me, as the boot guy, I got to make sure that, okay, I know what it was like to wear this boot. So I want to know what it's like to wear this boot, or that boot, or that boot, because before I test it on Marines, I need to know that, okay, Todd's got a good idea that it's a solid boot, okay? But if it's not, then we're not going to test it. So you asked, what advice would I give Marines?
When they're selecting a boot.
Fit. Does it fit right? Because all boots are made a little bit different.
And not everyone's foot is going to fit the same in every boot.
Right, and everybody has a different gait. So yeah. I might wear this boot because I like the way it feels, but somebody else might wear it and they're like, nah, it just doesn't fit right. And the good thing about these boots right now, the optional boots, right? The sea bag boot, you got to break that boot in. It's going to take you about 3 to 4 weeks to break that boot in. You can take one of the optional boots within a day. You're like, hey, I felt like I had this boot for 3 months. There's no break-in period for them, for the majority
okay.
of it.
That's good.
For example, this boot, I wear a size 12. Well, this is an 11 and a half that I'm wearing right here.
Okay. In the tropical.
Right. Because there was it was making a noise when you would walk, and it was kind of like a hiccup. And I said, we can't have that. That's noise discipline. That's not being obtained. So by that taking place, I went down half a size thinking it was, the boot was just too big on my foot, right? Because all boots are made a little bit different. They put them on a different, what's called a last, and that's how they pull it and they band it together and they stitch it together. And then they pull the last out once the boot is complete. It didn't make a difference because it still does that. So I've asked other Marines, hey, do you have that problem? And they say no. So maybe it's just my foot.
It's just your foot.
Right. So I probably, if I were still in the Marine Corps, I would not deploy with this boot. I would have to find a boot that's not going to
make noise.
Give me away to the enemy. So fit is important because I know that this boot really doesn't fit me because I can feel some pressure points on it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, I'm
you're not going to go running in it.
Yeah, I'm doing a test on the boot right now. So, okay, I know not to wear that if I were a Marine still deploying somewhere. Because like you said early in your intro, if you don't have the ability to maneuver, then your chances of staying alive is going to be decreased.
Yeah. We talked earlier about how we do work with the Army, or do we work with any other services? Does the Navy use our boot?
So the Navy is using our intense cold weather boot.
Okay.
So they partnered up with that. We tried to get the Army to work with us and join forces with us on our intense cold weather boot. The Army has a new intense cold weather boot, but theirs is the rough out grain instead of ours is full grain. So they went a different direction than we did. And, you know, I mean, sometimes that happens, right? Based off of their mission, based off of their feedback. Our feedback said, no, go with a full grain boot by the rough out grain.
Okay.
So we do work with the other services. The Army just adopted our intense cold weather sock that we had that we're pushing to DLA for future sustainment. So yeah, we and the other services are all about trying to find commonality within reach.
Yes.
Sometimes it's not going to happen.
The missions are different sometimes.
Yep. We worked with the Army on the tropical boot 6-7 years ago in Hawaii, and they were doing their program, we were doing ours. We swapped notes. Hey, this is what the Marine Corps is doing. And, you know, we went in one direction, the Army went in another direction.
What about foreign partners? Do we work with them on clothing or
no?
Footwear? I figure, yeah.
The only thing we did with, and this is not even, it was nothing official. When we were in Norway, we asked the Norwegians, hey, how, you know, tell us about your footwear. How does that work for you guys? Because you guys are in it constantly.
It's, yeah.
You know, the weather there is much different from it is here. So, and we being Marines, being in Norway for the rotational force, I mean, it was just something that we had to ask and they told us. So, but as far as a whole, no, we don't reach out to the other foreign services, especially on clothing, because
we don't want to share our, I'm going to get the term, MARPAT.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's strictly, yeah. I mean, multiple commandants have said, nope, that's ours. I think even the Border Patrol wanted to use MARPAT, Desert MARPAT, and the commandant then said, nope, that ain't going to happen. So, you know, it's close to our heart, but.
And for security reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we focus on only Berry compliant products, where the other services might drift off and use a trade compliant boot. We in the Marine Corps right now, we are strictly Berry compliant.
What does that mean?
So Berry compliant means all the raw materials, the leather, the laces, the soling, the manufacturing of the boot, it all has to be domestically sourced.
Okay.
So it's
American made.
Yep. American made. And that's what we focus on right now. It's a challenge because there's a lot of good boot companies, footwear companies out there that are not Berry compliant. And they approach, you know, the program office, hey, can we get certified? It's kind of a double-edged sword because the industrial base for military footwear, there's only about 5 manufacturers out there.
In the U.S.?
In the U.S.
Okay.
There used to be, you know, 30 or 40 of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, one by one, they're getting, you know, shut down because it's cheaper to make a boot offshore than it is to make it in the United States.
Yes.
So that's the challenge we got to face also.
Is there anything that you want to see in boots in the future?
Okay, so the Marine Corps has always been very conservative in nature, right? Even if you read the civilian order for Marines wearing civilian attire, it's in a conservative nature.
Yes.
So you can go out to industry and say, hey, I want this flashy boot, but that's not what the Marine Corps wants. We want to stay within a conservative reach. So to make a boot that's very plain, very simple in appearance, but yet the technology is available now. So we want to see a type of outsole that's going to lighten the weight, but still going to keep the durability. For example, this optional boot that I'm holding here from Belleville, this the outsole piece of it here, at a certain point, it's going to give way. But you could take this to a cobbler and get it resold.
Okay.
So that would say...
Still keep the boot, yeah, but just get it resold.
Okay. Yeah, and the cobblers are a dying breed, right? There's not a lot of cobblers out there anymore. But if you found a cobbler, because you know you like this boot, it fits you, you've owned it for 2 or 3 years, and just the outsole has worn down, you can get it resold and have that same boot on your feet. So with the old Vietnam boot, you could do that as well, right? You could do the heel, and that would be it. They would just slice that off and put a new heel on there and tack it down. With some of these other boots, you can do it with this boot as well, the Seabag boot. There's some other optional boots that we have, like this boot, the Tropical. You're not going to be able to resole the Tropical boot. But again, this boot is issued to Marines when they go on a deployment, so they're not worried about trying to resole it. But to answer your question, yeah, we just want technology. We want industry to continue to approach us and say, hey, we got something that we think you might like in the footwear world arena, and it's going to be a solid product, and it's going to, you know, drive the price down a little bit. We would love to see the price be, you know, driven down, but because of the whole supply chain debacle during COVID and everything else, it's caused an increase in a lot of manufacturers. So, I think just innovation to keep that going.
So what's next for your team?
So again, we're constantly looking for footwear. We obviously have to recertify every 3 years. So that's kind of on the back burner right now. We're working on a Seabag sock. So we just completed 2 years worth of studies at the recruit depots, San Diego, Paris Island, male, female recruits wearing the current Seabag sock, which is an 80% cotton sock. And we tested it with, I probably have one in here. This wasn't staged, trust me. I just used the socks to prop up the boots. But this is a merino wool-based sock. And we tested...
That's thick.
That might be a little thicker than the ones that we tested. But the thing about merino wool is it will keep your foot warm, and it does the opposite. It'll keep it cool based off of your environment that you're in.
What about moisture?
And it wicks the moisture away. So we did this study. We had 11 vendors, and all 10 of out of the 11 were all merino wool-based socks. So based off of that, we decided, hey, the data came back. We inspected the socks after the recruits wore them. We looked at the feedback from the testing that we did in the lab, and it was a no-brainer, hands down. We need to replace the current sock that's in the Seabag, so that's what we're working on now. We're tightening up the specification on that. And once we complete that and we get the leadership buy-in, and we'll push it to DLA, and DLA will do a sustainment contract, and hopefully that sock will be in the Seabag in the next 24 months.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and it's a more durable sock. It's going to cut down on blisters, issues with feet in general, right? Fungus, it just, merino wool has a natural fungus fighting agent in it because it's the wool itself.
It's natural. Yep. It's a natural.
Right. And it's just a better sock. Now, it might be a little more expensive. Not might, it will. But the current Seabag sock in the bag is about $1.34 a pair. So
not too bad.
Each recruit gets 6 socks. So if we can work the numbers and say, okay, each recruit's going to only need 5 of the new sock at $5.40 a pair. So it's an increase. But the longevity of it, and like RPM said, he goes, if you don't have good socks, then you're going to slow yourself down, right? So that's what we're shooting for.
Okay, now is when we do the lightning round. Mm-hmm. Questions?
Wait, do we have a timer? No timer?
No. Oh, I should get a timer. Probably make people really anxious. I can't do that.
That's all right. Stress is good sometimes.
Yeah. If you could have an unlimited supply of anything for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Licorice. No, coffee.
Coffee. Black licorice, though?
No, I'd say coffee.
Coffee?
Yep.
Black?
No. Little hint of heavy whipping cream.
Okay.
Steamed.
What TV show, book, movie, or podcast would you recommend?
Yours. Oh. Your podcast.
Thank you. Favorite band or song?
Can I name 2?
Yeah.
Cheap Trick and Fleetwood Mac.
What's something you could eat for a week straight?
Pizza. Thin crust.
What toppings?
Pepperoni and bacon.
So meat lovers. I'm more of a veggie, but it's so good. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It was great. I hope the Marines, you know, take some of this information and they can definitely pick out a solid boot and hopefully it works for them.
Yeah, I think so. I learned a lot for sure.
Any boot questions they might have, any cold weather clothing questions they might have, anything individual, you know, combat equipment, anything, clothing items, just shoot me an email.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Equipping the Corps. Don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcasting platform or on social media. We'd love to hear from you.